Over the past couple of months, the poultry industry in South Africa has faced unprecedented challenges, especially with the emergence of the bird flu virus. This outbreak has had a profound impact, particularly on the availability of poultry products, an example being eggs, on many retail shelves. Thabile Nkunjana joins us once again, and he's an economist from the National Agricultural Marketing Council. And in this episode, he provides a deep understanding of the complexities and implications of the bird flu virus. He also unravels reasons behind the shortage of poultry products and its ramifications on the South African consumer market, businesses, as well as the broader agricultural sector. As we delve deep into this crucial topic, we'll explore more measures being taken to address this issue, the impact on supply chains, as well as the potential solutions that can help us navigate through this challenging period. Let's take a listen.
Welcome to the Mbali Moko podcast, where we explore the cutting edge of sustainable agriculture and the latest innovations in the industry. Join us as we have conversations with industry experts from farmers, researchers, leaders, and policymakers about the challenges and opportunities facing the agriculture sector. Whether you're a seasoned farmer, a curious consumer, or just looking to learn more about where your food comes from, this is the podcast for you. Let's dive in and discover the future of farming together.
Thabile, it's great to have you on the podcast once again. And I think this time it's such a crucial conversation to have because for the past couple of weeks, people have been complaining about the prices of eggs on retail shelves. You know, eggs are very hard to come by of late. There's a huge scarcity problem and everyone's panicking. And I think from my side, I'm thinking about December, you know, as we're going into the December period, like, are we going to have some eggs for Christmas? Yes or no? What is your perspective from an economist's point of view?
Hi, Mbali, and thanks for having me again on the podcast. It's always a pleasure to be here. So the poultry situation remains a sticky one, you know, at this point, because a lot of things are happening. Even though, you know, from the recent few days, there hasn't been much of escalation as far as the outbreaks are concerned, but it remains a critical situation given that, as we're currently mentioning, the issue of you know, the festive December, where the peak for these products, both chicken and eggs, you know, tend to increase a little bit because, you know, for as far as eggs are concerned, you know, the baking part of it, and then on general consumption, because, you know, people are at home, so that breakfast that people normally consume, it tends to be a lot, and also consistent with a lot of family members around. So at this stage, yeah, as I was saying, it remains an issue. But there are measures, you know, that are being put in place. But of course, these are developing with the time. But hopefully, I think at least because there's a lot of traction on a lot of, you know, movement around those developments. So chances are later this year, at least for December month, people should be able to get, you know, the products at a relatively, you know, at an okay price, especially for chicken, because, you know, the influenza has not had such an impact on the broiler part. That is where folks get their chicken, but the issue has been there on the egg side, and that is why more focus it is paid entirely, or at least to a larger extent, to ensure that the country in the next few weeks going towards the end of the year, the country do access the eggs.
So tell me, are we unique in South Africa with this influenza flu, or is it a global thing? And secondly, what are the risks that we can adopt or employ as a, as an industry, especially around the poultry sector, to ensure that such a flu, you mentioned influenza or disease, does not affect the industry going forward?
You know, there's such an very, this is a complex situation. First off, I want to mention that it is a global problem, and I think if one is following, there has been a lot of, you know, other countries banning imports from certain countries like EU. Most recent one, I think, from our neighbors in Namibia was the one that has banned imports from the EU countries. And then recently, they've banned imports from South Africa. So this remains a globalist situation. And of course, the scale of this, you know, the influenza on poultry industry, it depends on the industries across the countries. For instance, beginning of some early months, there was a situation in the US where there was a shortage of eggs, you know, to a very larger degree, such that even that panic, it went as far as here in South Africa. I remember, you know, had a couple of engagements with them, you know, with a lot of people around the, you know, the country, both the sector and the public, where we're explaining to them that no, as for now, South Africa has not had quite an impact in that. But then again, as this is being carried by the birds, so the season or the influence those birds have, it is so significant, such that when it's a period when they are moving towards a certain part of the on the continent or the world, then we found out countries that are having the industry there, and also depending on the measures that each country has, they tend to get to be impacted, you know, by this. And then as far as the measures, you know, that the state that is putting together with the industry at this stage, they are contemplating a couple of issues, you know, because for instance, one being the vaccination. Now, if one brings the issue of vaccination in all this, one will need to realize that, first off, that is going to be probably an additional cost to the producers, for instance, because then that will mean, on top of the vaccines and other issues, you know, the production cost, that is the feed, you know, the vaccine that will have, the electricity that is being used, then you're going to have to add the vaccines on the vaccination component in that production cost. So there is a risk that is probably going to add to the cost of production. And then, of course, that will end up, you know, being somehow transferred to the consumer. So there's that element. But the important thing is that it is something that is still contemplated, you know, because there hasn't been an assurance, because this avian influenza, it is changing significantly. I read from the World Health Organization that deals with animal organ diseases. They were saying that since 2016, for instance, if we had to compare the current influenza from the one that we had in 2016, the one that we have now, it's quite very intensive and is very infectious and sort of resilient again, you know, when compared to that one, meaning it is developing with time as more measures are being put in place. It is also changing, you know, as a typical thing that will happen to any typical disease. So that is currently the situation in Bali for now.
Yeah, and as you were talking, I was starting to think if this influenza flu is just a once-off pandemic that happens in the poultry industry, similarly like how we experience COVID as a global population, you know. And so You mentioned that there was previously back in 2016. Now we're in 2023. Do you foresee this happening again in the next couple of years? And how can we prevent it? Is there a vaccine? Is there a cure against this? Because I can imagine, the agriculture industry is already at risk. You know, whenever you speak to investors, financiers, everyone always says, no, I don't want to invest in agri because it's risky. Or what's your risk mitigation plan? Or, you know, how can you, protect yourself as a farmer against climate change, water shortage, etc. The list goes on. And all these questions start to make agriculture less attractive from an investment perspective. And so, from your opinion, do you see this influenza virus occurring in the next couple of years? And if so, how can we prevent that from happening? Just to secure the longevity of the poultry sector. Yeah.
So I would say, Mbali, with the current, the rate at which this is happening, it has been happening for some time, actually. It's been years now, as you're mentioning the view, within the agricultural sector, a lot of things, at this stage, they appear to be very risky, because if you're looking for, you look in terms of grains, there is a climate issues there that some people feel like, is becoming too unpredictable. So it is a higher risk business for one to invest in. Then for the avian influenza, when I'm coming back to it, is that the trend is that, for instance, in normally based on the figures that I've seen from the from the World Organization for Animal Health, is that the avian influenza outbreaks, they peak globally at around February, and then begin to slow down April, June, and then September tends to be the month where we see the lowest, outbreaks in this. But for South Africa at this time around, it was actually an opposite. As much as we began to see these outbreaks in April, but the issue was that its significance was noticed, as of September to October, as we're currently, and in, after October, they, according to the figures from the World Health Organization for Animal Diseases, is that the numbers going to December, the outbreaks, they tend to come up again. So it is going to remain something that is going to be around. And then, of course, I think for now, because for instance, if you look into South Africa, the highest production measure that we had was to have quite higher, biosecurity measures. And this is not something that every farmer has, have in terms of, the infrastructure and the capital to ensure that his or her farm, it is safe in terms of not being contaminated by the disease. But that's not something that is very easy to do, because as I was saying, especially in areas where they tend to have, the swamps, because the wild birds, they tend to live close to areas where there are swamps or relatively some water where they can be able to drink and all that. So the vaccination, I would say at this stage, it is something that I think would be much, or at least perhaps would have a greater impact. But as I was saying earlier on, that is even then, the with time, these diseases, they tend to, to develop, to even become resistant to even some vaccination. But I think for now, that is the most, at least some sort of a measure that would be able to use, but it's going to continue, because it has been here even since 2005. The avian influenza has been here. So it's just a matter of now it's getting worse, because it is developing to other strains that are more resistant or resilient to certain measures and more infectious, which is why we are seeing the mass, infections. As we said, South Africa, for instance, if you have to compare this year to 2017, this has been the very worst year the industry has ever faced around the avian influenza.
Yeah, and so what does this mean for the poultry sector? Is it going to shrink significantly in the coming years, or maybe diversify, to other products? And also, my assumption is that you speak to industry also quite regularly, especially with outbreaks such as these. What is the poultry sector saying about, the security of farmers and their production and their employees? In South Africa right now, it's such a critical stage where unemployment is rife, and the last thing we need is businesses shutting down. And so what's the impact of all of this having towards or on the poultry sector?
So first of all, the poultry sector, it is within subsectors, within a sector which is an animal, or livestock, which is quite the biggest in terms of both value, and then not necessarily in employment, but it is still a critical one, especially now when you come to the poultry one. But the issue, going forward, is that now the government, for instance, and of course, working with the industry, the plan is to make sure that whatever measures are to be put in place, those measures are including, you know, maybe putting some, you know, some temporal measures to ensure that the supply is going through, so that consumers do not get to be, you know, to be negatively impacted. But at the same time, there has to be a manner where the consumers are not gonna be, you know, are not gonna be, you know, put in a situation where they are food insecurity. Remember, South Africa is a country that is having quite a unique situation in terms of unemployment. If you have to compare it to the world, we have the highest numbers of unemployment. We have the highest numbers of inequality. So those are some of the things that there has to be the balance, or strike a balance between balancing what the state wants to in terms of making sure that the industry does not get to be destroyed by, you know, let's say removing, you know, a lot of anti-dumping that are there to make sure that the supply continues. Because in that case, then it will probably mean that the local industry now is going to be even a much difficult situation. Remember, they are still, you know, some farmers, they are still, you know, sort of recovering from a lot of cost that they have incurred from the last year, higher input cost, and then to other issues like your load shedding, you know, which have already reduced the, you know, the poultry industry in terms of production. And of course, that has also negatively impacted the developing guys, which are the ones that, you know, we're anticipating that they will grow the industry, you know, with time. So there's a bit of, you know, challenges in terms of making sure that the industry does strive, because a lot of measures also need to be put in place to ensure that the industry is not getting put under more pressure, as already it is the case. But at the same time, the state and also the general public needs to make sure that the consumer's welfare remains intact in all that. So it is quite a very difficult situation, but I think the measures that are being put in place, they will be able to, you know, to assist the situation. You know, for instance, the eggs have already been coming to South Africa already. So the issue of the eggs is not going to be an issue to a larger extent, but with time, we will see how this develops, because it's a developing situation, and you know, there's no one or silver bullet answer that I can say this is what is going to solve, you know, the problem, because it is quite a complex one as we stand now.
Yeah, that doesn't bring a lot of comfort when you say it's quite a complex one. It doesn't bring a lot of comfort to myself as a consumer of poultry products, whether it's chicken or eggs. But at this point in time, it's the eggs that's really hanging on a, you know, a thin line, I say. And I think just in closing off this conversation, which, you know, you've highlighted quite some critical stuff, which I think to the general person listening, I think after this conversation, they'll have some view of actually what's going on. We're dealing with a disease that is affecting our birds. And like you said, it's happened before in the past, but this year, you know, it seems to be more aggressive. And so as an industry, as organizations and bodies within the sector, we just need to, I think, pull up some weight and see how we can, you know, collectively combat the intensity of this disease occurring in the next couple of years. And so as we end off our conversation, Tabile, I just want to know, what advice would you just give to poultry farmers right now who have invested heavily within the 2023 season, or maybe just are hanging on, you know, by a thread, not knowing what to do with their business, especially those that are in the egg-laying production. And think of, when I say the industry, I mean totality, from a big established commercial farmer to those smallholder farmers who are also relying on the selling of their eggs, you know, to just generate a revenue or feed their families. And so what message would you give out to farmers at this stage? And I think as consumers, yeah, it's either, you know, we have to change our diet for the next couple of days, couple of weeks, which, I'm just really thinking of those farmers right now who are just struggling to make ends meet, and whose facilities have been shut down because of this disease or virus.
So it's a good one. It's a good one, and also difficult at the same time. But especially when it comes to the farmers, As you may recall, early this year, especially emerging farmers, a lot of them, they closed, their doors because they could not cope with the prices for feed, So, and that meant already there was, challenges back then. So to the scale that the industry now, it is being stretched, it has gone to a level that, as I was saying earlier on, that it has not been observed. So irrespective of what size you're operating at now, maybe it is even more worse for the larger commercial farmers, because once a farmer gets to be infected by this, you can imagine the cost of that. Because, even though for the small scale farmers couldn't be not necessary to a larger, in terms of value or money, it cannot be equated to the commercial farmer, but still the impact, is going to be the same, because for the emerging farmer, he or she has invested how much money he was able to get, and that meant a lot for him. And then for a commercial farmer, because of the scale that they are operating on, it tends to be the impact. It remains, or it can be very significant. So it remains a very difficult, one for me to crack this one. I'm not going to lie to you, because also, as you recall, that some of these, small carcasses I tend to be part of. So I don't want to compromise, a number of things that tend to be discussed in there. But I think farmers, they need to hang in there. I think there is hope, especially if both the industry and government do not take drastic decisions that put, consumers at worst, and then the farmers on the other side. There has to be a balance between those two. So I think proper engagements for the bodies that represent farmers, they will bring up a very progressive developments. But as things stand for now, it remains quite a very complex and a difficult situation. But for consumers, if I may take that part of just to touch on that, I think the issue with the chicken itself, it is not that actual price is still. I was looking at the prices just before we talked here. The prices that we have as of September, they are somehow lower to prices that we had in September last year, at least marginally. So meaning the impact for the chicken side has not been, at least meat has not been that of an issue. The problem has been to eggs, but eggs are already on the way. So there are measures to try to mitigate the situation. And I'm hopeful that those all the measures that I was trying to talk about earlier on are going to bring some sort of comfort to both the consumers and hopefully the farmers won't be at the worst end of all these developments as well.
Thank you so much, Thabile, for your insights. I think the best that we can do is pray and hope for a better situation in the next coming months. I think, the industry contributes significantly to our economy. And so, as just individuals playing in the sector, we can only hope that, things could turn around for the betterment of our sector. So thank you so much for your insights today.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it, Marlene. Thanks for having me once again.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Your feedback is always important. Therefore, please rate and review this podcast. You can follow me on social media at Mbali Nwoko on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, as well as YouTube. Should you wish to contact me directly, kindly send me an email at info@mbalinwoko.com. Look out for next week's episode. Until then, take care.